All right. As I said to you, we will be looking on verse 8, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That is where our attention is going to be tonight. But you will remember that we have just started the book of Acts. And we are looking at it under the topic that says, the work of the Holy Ghost in the early church. That is our general topic. We are looking on the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church. And so we want to give God thanks for the fact that He has led us here. And we want to see the main reason why He brought us to this chapter. We, not too long ago, dealt with St. Luke chapter 4. And when we see how the Holy Spirit worked in the life of Jesus, it is from there that spurs our heart that we end up in Acts, looking in Acts to see if we can learn more about the Holy Ghost and His operation in the church. So we have just started and we are still in chapter 1, and we might not finish chapter 1 until when we go through the next study. But tonight, this important verse here, we don't want to overlook it. We're going to spend a little time looking at it, and we trust that some nuggets will come out of it that will bless each and every one of us heart. Bless the Lord. If you remember what Jesus said, in fact, we discussed it in our introduction to this book of Acts. In John chapter 16 and verse 7, if you remember what the Lord said to His disciples, that it is expedient for them that He goes away. Because if He does not go away, then the Holy Spirit will not come. And here we are in the book of Acts. And what He had said down there, the time has come, as we look in the book of Acts, for the fulfillment of that thought that He has shared with His disciples. It is expedient for them that I go away. And as we look, we are seeing where indeed He is going away. But before He goes away, He gave the church a mandate. He gave the church a commission that they should carry out in His absence. And when you look on Acts 1 verse 8, it is the last, that verse is the last thing that Jesus said to His disciples before He go. These were His last words as He spoke to them. And what He said was very important, extraordinary. The next thing that is going to happen as Jesus finished speaking in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is that He is going to disappear, as He stated there in John chapter 16 verse 7. And listen to what was the last words that Jesus said to them before He disappeared. Acts 1, I read verse 8 again. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Those were the last words Jesus spoke. The next verse tells us what happened. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, meaning verse 8, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The last words that Jesus spoke, verse 8. What a sight this must have been as they were there gathered around Jesus. And none of them knew what was going to happen next. None of them. But as he gave this charge, as he gave them this mandate in regards to the church, their responsibility, which has become our responsibility, while they look at him, they saw a movement, an upward movement of Jesus. His feet lift off the ground vertically without the sound of an engine, without the sound of even a wind, because the Bible did not mention that a wind had taken away Jesus. But what in the quietness of the moment, they saw Jesus as if he was standing, lifting up, going vertically in the air. That moment captivated the eyes, the heart, the soul, and the mind of the disciples, as they have seen something they have never seen in their entire life. The supernatural power of God on display, taking Jesus back into heaven to be with his Father. Never before in the history of the world had any such thing happened. The Lord tells us that while they continue to gaze upon Jesus as he continues to be lifted, a cloud came and took him out of their sight. Jesus was gone, just as he said in John chapter 16, verse 7, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. He has passed on the baton to the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost to come and take up residence among the children of God. What a moment that must have been to the disciples. Supernatural power on full display as the master went up vertically. And it is deliberate on the part of Jesus that it was done this way. Because Jesus could easily disappear. In the middle of the night, he could have disappeared. And the next morning, the disciples would be wondering, where is he? Nobody had seen him. Where is he? But in full display of the disciples, as they bear witness to this thought, Jesus went back to the Father. His mission was accomplished. And it's time to introduce his successor, as far as his work is concerned, the blessed Holy Spirit. And so that's why the last verse, recorded verse in the scripture that Jesus quoted, introduced to the disciples, is verse 8, when he said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now there are different type of powers. And I'm going to, in a minute, ask us a question, and we hope that we'll spend a little time there, get your opinion on it. There are different types of powers. You have political power. You have electrical power. You have combustion power, meaning the engine in your car, the engine in train and buses and airplane and so forth. Combustion power, that is. And you have supernatural power. And we'll be dwelling on the supernatural power part of it as we continue to look on what Jesus is saying here. But if there is anybody who understands what power is and where power comes from, is the Lord Jesus himself. He understands power in all its areas. And so listen to him as he responds to Pilate in St. John chapter 19, 10 and 11. Listen to Jesus, what he said here, as he responded to a statement made by Pilate, the governor, that is. St. John 19, verse 10 and 11. Then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Pilate had been asking Jesus a number of questions, and Jesus refused to answer. So he said, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee? That is what Pilate said to Jesus. You refuse to answer me in the questions that I'm asking. Do you know, Pilate said to Jesus, that I have the power to crucify you? And do you know But I also have the power to release you. So hear what Jesus said to him in verse 11. Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except, listen to this, except it was given thee from above." Except it was given to thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Jesus continued. So Jesus knows power. Jesus also knows where power comes from. And as I said to you a while ago, there are political power, electrical power, combustion power, and supernatural power. And Jesus knows all of them. But Jesus said, as far as I'm concerned, you, Pilate, you have no power over me unless it was given to you from above. So not only that, Jesus knows power, but he also knows where power resides, where power comes from, where real power comes from. And so the question that I would like to ask the church tonight, and you don't have to worry about your answer. We are looking for different answers. Just your thought on the question. What is power? That's the question. In your mind, what do you think power is? Especially as it relates to Acts chapter 8. Chapter 1 verse 8. "Ye shall receive power," Jesus said. In your mind, what do you think? Or do you define power?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Because wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge correctly. And therefore, it is powerful when you are able to display wisdom in any one of our operations. And this is something that the church, all of us, should really apply for, as James said. Wisdom, the ability to use knowledge correctly. Thank you for that answer, Sister Bennett. Is there somebody else of a thought as to what power is?
Yes, it's going to say authority.
Yes, sure. No doubt about that one. No doubt about that one. Authority. And this is where Pilate was coming from. This is where Pilate was coming from, my sister. Pilate was saying, "Do you know that I have the authority of Rome to back me here in my decision making? I am under the authority of Rome. So therefore, I execute this power on behalf of the Roman government." Authority. That's where Pilate was coming from. But I'm sure there are other answers too.
Divine enablement.
Very good, Sister Barbara. Very good. This is where we talk about supernatural power. This is where we talk about supernatural power. And one of the displays there is when Jesus was able to vertically move off earth up to heaven, as if he is standing. As if he is standing on a piece of board or concrete or something. Just going up and in no ifs at all. Earth cannot cool him down. He defies gravity. Divine enablement. This is power in its totality. To be able to lift himself off earth without the sound of a breeze, without internal combustion engine firing off. You will listen to these astronauts going up into space, and for hours they are laying down in a close capsule on top of balls of fire called engine, ready to be propelled into the air. And there's a man operating a computer somewhere that controls all the knobs for that rocket. And they start to count down whether it is from 10, 9, 8. And when they reach 1, he hit a particular button and all of the engine start fire. And you see fire blazing out from underneath that thing, ready for combustion power to take over in order to send these men into space. And it comes with a roar that can be heard for miles. And then you see this ball of fire going up. In Jesus' case, no such thing. But he was able, by divine power, enablement, to go up vertically as the disciples watch him going up into heaven. So all answers are good so far, but I still believe that somebody has another thought as to when Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power." What does it mean? Now, what is the meaning of power? We heard wisdom. We heard authority. We heard divine enablement. Is there another thought somebody would like to share what they think power is? Control. What is that? Control. Did you say control, Sister Mary?
Yes, sir, control.
Yes, yes. Well, we don't have doubt. We don't have doubt because careless power can create problems. So you have to be able to exercise control of that power for it to accomplish your desired result. Its desired result. So power without control puts everybody in danger, Sister Mary. You've got to have control. You've got to have control in exerting this type of power. Can you imagine if that rocket that I've just described that carries astronauts up into the atmosphere? Can you imagine if the computer does not program it properly? You know what could happen? Maybe they could have a liftoff. But instead of it going vertically, it gone horizontal and end up in a state somewhere, crashing. out of control. The control got to be a vital part of the whole process. Is there another thought somebody would like to share?
Strength.
Well, without a doubt, strength got to be part of the whole process. You've got to exercise strength there. Mm-hmm. Power means strength, yes. Mm-hmm. Because if we get back to the scripture, the discourse between Jesus and Pilate. Pilate was only exercising the strength of his ability. Look here, I have been doing this for a long time. He was declaring. I have sat in this chair for many years. And I have the right. You have the right to exercise the strength of the chair in carrying out my job, he was saying to Jesus. So all of these suggestions are pointing in the same direction. Are pointing in the same direction. When Jesus said, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And I'll take just one more.
I come back with two. Dominion, when it comes to what they were supposed to go out and do, you know, take dominion over principalities and powers. And also, for the believer in this case, I think boldness.
All right. No wonder this is where we end. No wonder this, because that is exactly right, Sister Barbara. That is what we're pointing to here. In all these questions, that is exactly what we're pointing to here. He was talking to his disciples, and he was telling his disciples, as we now understand that these were the last words that Jesus spoke, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses. This is the part that I did not drive home, because I want somebody to go there. I wanted somebody to go there. But ye shall be witnesses. Witnesses unto me. Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The power to witness, which the simplest definition to the word power is the ability to achieve or perform. The ability to achieve or perform is the simplest definition that we will ever find in regards to the word power. The ability to achieve or perform. Jesus said, look, when the Holy Ghost comes, you will get the ability to become witnesses unto me. You will get the ability to perform your task as believers, to bear my name, not only in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, but everywhere else, including Florida, tonight. So all of those answers which were given tonight are correct answers, because they point to the same thing. Authority to do it, the different things that you have answered, all of these come into the same mix to show you how important it is that the disciples receive power. And this is the supernatural power that comes where Jesus said to Pilate, "You have no power over me unless it was given to you from above." Jesus is saying the power that I'm speaking of is a power that will come from above to the disciples. The supernatural power. I think we probably should look on somebody to see how this power operates in that person's life. This power that Jesus said that they shall receive. Let's see how it manifests itself in Peter's life. And for this, let's take a look on Mark. Let's take a look on Mark. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, I will read from verse 66. It's a little lengthy, so I'm going to ask you to bear with me. Because we want to see, when Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power." We would like to identify whether or not that power produce any difference in somebody's life. So let's look and see something here. Mark chapter 14, and I will read from verse 66 to 72. Quite a lengthy passage, but please bear with me. "And as Peter was beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked up on him and said, 'And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But Peter denied, saying, 'I know not. Neither understood I what thou sayest.' And he went out unto the porch," that is Peter, "and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say unto them that stood by, 'This is one of them,'" identifying Peter again. "And he denied again. And a little after that, they that stood by said again to Peter, 'Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto.'" Listen to what Peter said as the third time somebody identified him. Verse 71. "But he began to curse, and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak, Peter that is. And the cock crew a second time. And the second time, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the words of Jesus, said unto him, before the cock crew thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Now, brethren, listen to this. Listen to this. Peter went into the council room. In fact, let me read verse 53 of Mark 24. Verse 53 said, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and scribes. They were all in there, and Peter was there with Jesus. And somebody identified that Peter is one of Jesus's followers. Three times different people said, you are one of them. And Peter within, the glance of Jesus deny that he know the man called Jesus. To the extent that we have here in verse 71, Peter starts to curse. Now, I don't know, I honestly don't know the language that they spoke there. I don't know what type of curse word Peter uses. I don't know if he went to Jamaica and found anything down there. But he started to curse in a way to convince them that I don't know the man called Jesus. I've never seen him. I've never met him. Yet, Peter is one of Jesus' disciples. He ate with him. He drank with him. And all of these things. And Peter said, I don't know him. Why? Because Peter realized that Jesus was in serious danger. Danger of losing his life. Jesus was not fighting back. Jesus was not using a miracle to get away. Jesus was exposed to death. And Peter realized to be identified with Jesus at this time means he too could be killed. So he took the way out by cursing and swearing to convince. I've never met the man. I don't know him. Come with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I'll read from verse 5 to verse 14. Remember what we said. Right there was a chief priest, the scribe, and all those hierarchy from the Sanhedrin council who was there when Peter said, I don't know Jesus. I've never seen him. Here again, listen to the same set of people gathered together. Acts 4 from verse 4. Acts 4 from verse 5 to verse 14. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribe and Ananias the high priest and Cephas and John, meaning Peter and John, and Alexander And as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. The same set of hierarchies, the same set of leaders who dragged Jesus into the council. And Peter was there with him at first and denied Jesus. The same set of people here again. And Peter, the common factor in their presence. Verse 7. And when they had sat them in the midst, they asked, by what power, when they had sat them, meaning when they sat Peter and John in the midst of the Sanhedrin council, then they asked him, by what power, here we go again, the word power, ye shall receive power. And may I just back up here a minute. The power that Peter received as a result of the Holy Ghost that came upon him, as Jesus said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Peter was able to use that power and heal a man that was lame from a long time. And it was noise abroad that miracle took place. And for that reason, they dragged Peter in this council and John to question them as to how that happened. So verse 7 said to us, and when they had sat them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Have ye caused the man to be able to walk again? Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day by examining of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what manner is he made whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people in Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, listen to what Peter is saying here. By the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you hold. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness, somebody did say in the answer, boldness. Somebody did make mention of boldness is a way of describing power. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. 14 and last. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I stop there. So I would like to ask the church tonight, what is the difference? What is, remember what we, where we are coming from. We are coming from the fact that Jesus said, ye shall receive power. And ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me in the different places that he mentioned. So I'm asking the church tonight, in light of the two scriptures that was read, the one in Mark and this one here in Acts, what is it that caused the difference?
The Holy Ghost, Pastor, the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen, my sister. Amen, my sister. Amen, my sister. Amen, my sister. Hallelujah. 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 The power of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive power. Before, when Peter denied Jesus, Peter was not yet baptized with the Holy Ghost. Peter was operating on a natural plane, on a normal setting. And he could not develop the courage to stand with Jesus in a moment when Jesus needed his support. But after he was baptized, after he was endued, after he received the power of the Holy Ghost that was promised by the Father, Peter was able to look on the same set of people and call them murderers. You killed Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And seeing now where it is so important that the church grasp this. Because for us to stand against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness, we need to stand in the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. There's something that they said there too. They said these were unlearned men. And for their standard, these people did not know, Peter and John did not know the ABC of the Sanhedrin Council requirement as far as academic standard is concerned. But one thing they discover that they have been with Jesus. And the man who was healed stood beside Peter and John as evidence. This is the evidence of supernatural power that Jesus said the church would receive. The evidence standing beside them, and they say they could say nothing because the evidence is overwhelming what supernatural power has accomplished, because Jesus had said, ye shall receive power. Brothers and sisters, when I saw this, I said, God, where are we, Lord? The universal church as it is today, whether it is here in America, Jamaica, Australia, New Zealand, Pakistan, wherever it finds it, where is this power that Jesus said you shall receive. Wait. The Peter who could not stand to identify himself with Jesus, but once did, after receiving this power, not only stood by Jesus and said, there is salvation in no other name. Not only that he said that, but he called them murderers. You killed Jesus. You have crucified Jesus. This is the same stone that the builder refused. But no, it is the head of the corner. And there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. Time is gone. Let me hurry on to something else. Because not only that, the apostle Peter and John was able to show the difference between not receiving power and receiving power. But the Apostle Paul also, using a different scripture, was able to speak to it. Let's go to First Thessalonians chapter 1. Only verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in words only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The apostle speaking to the Thessalonian churches. If you read in Acts chapter 17, you're going to find out that when Paul entered into Thessalonians and his companion, they said in verse 6 that these men are turning the world upside down. That is Acts chapter 17 from 1 to 6. When you read it, you're going to find that as a result of his ministry, his preaching in Thessalonica, the Thessalonian people said, these men are turning the world upside down. Why are we here in Thessalonica? Where have we left Acts chapter 1 verse 8 to be here in Thessalonians reading this verse of scripture verse 5? It is because of what Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Here is the Apostle Paul taking the mandate of the church to a different place, to a different set of people who are steeped in idol worshiping. And you know something? Oftentimes, when we find we are not having the type of success that we should have And when we say we, I am broadening this to take in other countries and other cities and other places in the world. It's a general statement. When we find that the church is not making the inroad that we would love to see, we oftentimes said it is because of the world. It is because of the world has changed. When I think about my earlier days when I was young, people would go to church and people would have reverence for passing church and all these other things. But now things have changed. People don't have no interest in church anymore. People show a little bit of reverence. That all might be true. But what the Apostle Paul is saying here, we discover the world is not the problem. The world's intention is to sin. And to sin. And to sin. That is the world's calling. To sin. The world is not the problem. First John tells us that what is in the world is the lust of the flesh. The pride of life. And so, those are the things that are in the world. The world's intention is to sin. The world is the world. The world worships either. That's the world. The problem is in the ability to demonstrate the power of the church. That's where the problem is. So the Apostle Paul in verse 5, Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto us in words only. And I would like us tonight to see what is happening here. The Apostle Paul is saying, look, it is good if you know the Bible, if all preachers know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and can quote it upside down, inside out. That is good. And after all of us as preachers need to learn. I think it was Brother Barker that I was talking to one time. And Brother Barker was telling me that he is trying to learn the scriptures. To retain the verses. And I encourage the brother, just like I'm encouraging myself. And you remember, I continue to quote this, Sister Barbara saying to us one night in our Bible study, that we are to read the Word of God. She's encouraging all of us to read God's Word. And my brother and my sister, wherever you can recite it till you know it, please do. If you take one verse per day and go to your work and chew on that one verse till it becomes part of you, please do it. Psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to have it inside of us. So I'm not kidding us knowing the word of the Lord. But based on what the apostle is saying to us here tonight, not word only. He said, for our gospel came unto you. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Make a note of that. The Apostle Paul was saying, look, I could preach from morning till night. In fact, let me just read something else that was said here. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 4 and 5. Listen to what the apostle said. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That is what the apostle said here to the Corinthian church. I did not come with enticing words of men's wisdom. So he's onto something. Let us see if we find what he's onto here in Thessalonians. Not in word only. Meaning he could preach from morning to night. He's saying if it is just preaching word, it is not going to achieve much, or if anything. And I'm wondering, to be very honest with you, where the church is today. The church in its universal sense, the organized church. It is not lacking in words. The church is not lacking in words. Many words. Words of wisdom, words of different thought. The church in general have words. You hear me preaching tonight? That is words, that is utterance. But the apostle is saying to the Thessalonians, because the brethren receive the word of God, and there was revival in this church. And the apostle was telling them that, look, it is a three leg stand that caused this revival. It's a three leg standing that caused this revival that you have experienced. As they said, these men are turning the world upside down. It is not only words which the apostle, without a doubt, had so much of. And of course, if Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me, Jesus means the disciples should open their mouth to talk about Jesus. So those are words. These are beating words. Words need to be embraced in the church. What the Apostle Paul is saying, look, it is not words only that is going to get the job done. Not words only. And in this verse. But he said, also in power. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you shall receive power. Power to drive that word. The word cannot go by itself. The word will not accomplish its task, the task by itself. It needs power to go along with it.
Amen. The anointing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we listen to Peter address the Sanhedrin council, and in turn they said, the marvel at what Peter was saying. It means the power of the words have reached their heart. and provoked that response. It was not just words. It was words accompanied by the power that Jesus said, ye shall receive. Hallelujah, church. And I believe this is what is missing from the church in general. We are not hearing people said anymore, did my heart burn within me? People are not getting heartburn anymore. Did not my heart burn while he spake? People's conscience are not being troubled anymore because the word is going out without the power behind it. And as I said to you, I want all of us to study the Bible. I want all of us to know every word in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. That is fine, that is glorious, and it is a blessing to be in that position. But while we are in that beautiful position of knowing and being able to flow with God's word, let's apply for the power. Let's apply for the power of God. Because if your children, if your father know how to give good gifts, what to say, the Heavenly Father, if you ask him, he will give you the Holy Ghost. We need to ask for it. We need to ask for it as a church. Jesus, the apostle said, for our gospel came not unto you in words only, but also in power. And then listen to the final leg of the thought that he shared with the brethren there at Thessalonica. Not only in words, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are the three legs that the apostle is conveying to the brethren after they have become so excited about the change. These are people who used to worship idols. If you look at verse 9, you will find that these people were idol worshippers. But the word which accompanied by power, driven by the Holy Ghost, change lives. I know I've got to stop here. There's something else that I wanted to say to close it up, but I will definitely stop in the interest of time. But my brother, my sister, tonight, we're looking on the last charge Jesus gave to, in fact, it's a mandate that Jesus gave to the brethren, the disciples. After he said this, he went into heaven. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you, the apostolic church in America, shall be witnesses unto me, starting at home in Jerusalem, in Samaria, the hostile community of Samaria, in Judea, and to the uttermost part of the world, Bangladesh. Hear the gospel. But Paul shine another light on it and break it down for us tonight to say it is okay to speak words. But he's not speaking words of man's wisdom. But he's speaking words that is powered by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! So therefore, when you go out to witness to somebody, Jesus told the disciples, of what is going to happen later on. He said, the time is going to come when they're going to ill-treat you. They're going to do different things. They're going to even take you before the magistrate. But you must not worry what you're going to say. Because in that moment, instead of you scrambling to find your own words, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, the Holy Ghost will tell you what to say. This is what it called walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You have to have the word inside of you first for the Holy Ghost to act upon it and to tell you which one to use at this particular time. To be a witness. You just don't approach somebody and say anything. Wait on the Holy Ghost. To he that said good morning and good afternoon. To he that said, how are you? Bless the Lord for you. Wait on the whole. The Apostle Paul said, it cannot be just words. The words have to be powered by the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, wait until you be endued with that power from on high. Brothers and sisters, we are going into deep waters here in this Acts of the Apostle. As we see how the Holy Ghost is working, our eyes are being opened to the reality that supernatural power is necessary to operate the church. Father, we just bless your name tonight. We bless your name tonight. And we say thanks to you, Lord, for the fact that you have started something. And you went away and passed the baton to the Holy Ghost. And right now the church that you left, it was planned all along that it must be powered and energized by the Holy Ghost. Father, our prayer tonight, every one of us here, is that you will grant us this power. Equip us with this power to witness for you in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. That we might not just speak words only, but we will demonstrate the power that you told the disciples that they shall receive. And we will walk and operate in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Thank you that it is not only for preachers, but it is for all of us in the church. Open our eyes that we will see you in a greater sense, Lord. And give you the honor and glory that is due to your name. Amen.